Hello, album enjoyers. Thank you so much for listening. We're here very quickly to plug the Enjoy Earn Album Patreon. First off, thank you so much for everyone who has already signed up. Yes, thank you. We're really, really pleased. It means that we can continue to improve the podcast in ways that we had only imagined as a possibility. We're way ahead of schedule on that, so thank you. For £5 a month, you get two extra episodes a month, sometimes three. If the weeks land in the right way, you get an extra episode every 2 weeks.
I didn't know that, but that's cool.
Yes, you also...
24-hour at least early access to every episode.
Yes.
Without adverts, without Patreon plugs. It's fucking class. That's what I listen to. Not only that, you get two bonus reps every fucking month.
And
we try harder on those ones, if I'm honest.
We've got some live shows coming up as well, and you will get early access.
I haven't heard about that.
We'll get pre-sale to those. So lots of exciting reasons to sign up. Or you get access to the ones that we've already done. We've done The Darkness. We've done
Robbie Williams.
Yes.
Hamilton by Lin-Manuel Miranda. Mogwai.
Yes. The Flaming Lips. Yeah, loads of good ones already there. Your classic album episodes hidden behind a secret door that only your Patreon membership can access.
And so, you can actually vote on what Patreon ones we're going to come up soon.
So the patrons have signed up.
You can ask questions that we'll answer in the intro. And you can
discuss stuff with the larger Enjoy an Album community. So do get signed up. Yes, it's £5 a month or £10 a month if you're extra sound. So we'll leave you to do that at patreon.com/enjoyanalbum. And we hope you enjoy the episode. Until then, thank you so much.
Become an ultra.
This week's intro question comes from Patreon Lewis Wilson. Patrons can ask questions on the pinned thread at the top of the Patreon page.
Long time album enjoyer, Lewis Wilson.
Yes, thank you, Lewis, who asks, biggest musical guilty pleasure? I am reject the notion of guilty pleasures at large. I don't think any pleasure should be guilty.
Can I shock you?
Yes.
I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah. However.
Sorry, Lewis, you're a long time album enjoyer, and I respect that. Your question fucking sucks.
Well, now, I thought that. And then I thought, what are the songs that I am a bit embarrassed about liking, that I wouldn't necessarily publicize that I love, or sometimes songs maybe that I sing to myself in the house when no one's around that I would not sing when even my wife is in. And I realized that I do have some guilty pleasures.
Like what?
I'm embarrassed to say. So this is actually a good question. But I would say sort of modern Disney music, I sometimes catch myself singing and I think, Liam, what's happened to you?
Remember me, although I have to say goodbye. Remember me.
Or Let It Go from Frozen.
You don't even have kids.
I know, it's fucked up. I've never seen the film.
You've never
seen
the film.
Let It Go. Why are you making fun of me for listening to it? You've watched the film. You don't have kids.
No, but I have a Disney.
Here I stand, and here I go. Love that. Idina Menzel, I saw her live in Wicked.
The wickedly talented.
At the Apollo Theatre in London's West End.
The wickedly talented. She was, Nadine.
Yeah, she was absolutely wonderful. Wicked as well. Has some great songs as well that I'm a little bit embarrassed about. I guess I'll try defying gravity. Yeah, I guess that'd be a guilty pleasure as the occasional, because generally musicals make me feel sick. But there are some songs that I do find are bangers.
There's just nothing that makes me embarrassed. I think I've kind of came to terms with myself.
Well, me too, until I realised this aspect of my personality.
I can listen to fucking Limp Bizkit, Hardfi.
Yeah.
Mentman.
Your number one track last year was Muse, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit of a guilty pleasure, surely.
Yeah, okay. Muse. I'll say Muse. Okay. Won't Stand Down from the new Muse album, which was my number one most played song last year because I fucking loved it. But I was scared to share it because, I'm a music podcast host.
Yep.
People are going to stop listening if they think I've got a dog shit taste of music.
That's true. Yeah. Well, actually, you know what? I know a number of people listen to this and already think that we have a dog shit taste of music because they tell me so. So yours is Muse. Mine is the musical stylings of Idina Menzel.
Nadine Menzel. The wickedly talented Brat Blimey.
So thank you for that question, Lewis.
That was a great question, Lewis. Sorry for being so snarky.
Yeah, my guilty pleasure is watching Chris get rankled by questions.
I forget. I was getting rankled by someone else.
This week we're talking about Gorillaz' new album, Moving NFT Band, the Damon Albarn's hip hop dub, world music cartoon project. It's a good episode. We have some good debates. We go a little bit off piste, would you believe?
We're pivoting away from the Patreon model and we're going to start running NFTs. That's real big news this week. So stay tuned for that.
Yes, the Enjoy an Album NFT collection. Just in time for the NFT boom as well, I understand. It's on the up.
That is very funny because this will come out like a while, but the day we recorded this was the day after the banks collapsed in America.
Have yourself a wonderful, merry little podcast, and patrons, you're in straight to the episode. Non-patrons, you've got an advert coming up next. One way to avoid that is to join the Patreon. Just saying. Enjoy the episode.
If you join it, you don't need to hear it, and you hear it a day earlier. I mean, you know, it's good.
Enjoy the episode, and we will speak to you soon via this one-way communication method known as the podcast.
Enjoy an album enjoyers, and ultras.
This episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the numero uno product when it comes to shaving your bits.
It's not the product, it's the brand. Oh, it's not just the product, baby. Yeah. We got the nose trimmer, the
weed whacker.
You got the comfiest pair of pants I own.
The lawnmower. Fellas, if you are tired of having little shaving mishaps when you're trying to tidy up your downstairs department, then 100% recommend the lawnmower. It's so quick. It's so easy. It's waterproof. You can charge it in with a USB-C, the same as my phone.
If you're fed up your ball bag looking like Colonel Gaddafi's burst head, how about you get on the old manscaper and your head...
Manscaped.
And
5 months.
Your ball bag will look like Professor Xavier's bald head. Perfectly smoothed. No burst bones or blood stains. Just good old-fashioned sleek balls.
And because surely such wonderful equipment would be expensive, would it not?
That's the issue. That is taken care of. Because if you're a fan of this podcast, you get... Album 20 is the product code that allows you to get 20% off.
20% off all products.
That's a fifth.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. So make sure. And also, it's a way to support the pod whilst also supporting your own balls. If you don't have balls, that's fine. Maybe we'll purchase them for a fun gift. Father's Day's coming up.
They work on all genders.
Yes, you can shave anything with it.
They should be called humans.
A dog. A hedgehog? Don't shave hedgehogs in Manscaped.
Please do not do that because it is cruel and unusual.
Yes, but remember to use the code ALBUM20 for your Manscaped products. And well, thank you so much for listening to this sponsored part of the show.
You're listening to Enjoy an Album, the podcast where two comedians listen to some of the greatest albums of all time.
The 8th full-length release from animated supergroup Gorillaz features guest appearances from Bad Bunny, Beck, Farside's Booty Brown, Stevie Nicks, Adelaide Mateo, and Tame Impala, and Thundercat. 8 albums in, Gorillaz are still capable of producing a fresh, rich album that spans genres and moods, with so many different textures and sonic fabrics that they have cultivated a musical universe of their own. So for the blurb this week, I read a summary of from Metacritic, and then the first paragraph of a review from Consequence of Sound, I think, who've given the review a full 100 out of 100.
Wow.
Which is pretty crazy.
Don't know if it's crazy, but it's bold. It's a bold move from Consequence.
Yes.
What do you think about Metacritic as a thing? Do you think Metacritic's a good idea or a bad idea?
I prefer, of all of the sort of review summary sites, Metacritic, I think, is the most balanced. Rotten Tomatoes is in the mud. They just started letting fucking anybody review anything as a verified reviewer. It's like Steve's Movie World.
I had
MarvelAddicts.com.
I had seen obviously all the Captain America films, but this one for me.
Yeah, so some of the films that you see on there is like 95%
cinematography on.
You watch it and you go, are you fucking insane?
Yeah.
This is dreadful. Metacritic, you go to top movies on Metacritic and it's always some fucking Portuguese black and white sad donkey film that I've never seen before.
EO, it's called. That new Portuguese donkey film. EO.
Donkeys are on the up. You seen Banshees of Inisherin?
Yes, I've seen Banshees of Inisherin.
Donkeys are having a fucking glow up.
That's a great donkey in that film.
Yeah, Jenny the donkey. So, Metacritic. Also, I wouldn't necessarily go to Metacritic for music
stuff. You don't album of the year, okay?
Like album of the year. I like any good music. I like perusing Pitchfork for my sins and the quietus.
Pitchfork is in the dirt. I just want to say that Pitchfork is in the dirt.
Do you think so?
Since the Condé Nast takeover, it's now owned by a conglomerate that owns Rolling Stone, owns Pitchfork, and owns Vanity Fair. I still think
they have some good reviews. They do have some like pretty stinking takes sometimes. But
what did you think about when they said, here's the 50 artists of the future and only one of them was a gay?
I thought it was very progressive.
So have you ever heard Gorillaz before?
Yes, I remember the launch of the Gorillaz, the big new manufactured cartoon pop band when I was in secondary school. It was, there were big news because amongst kids, it was like fun monkey music guys.
Yeah, they were fun monkey music guys, actually. When do you remember the first time you ever heard them?
Probably. What was their first song?
Clint Eastwood or 19-2000.
And I don't know, like...
Bob Dylan did it.
So,
feeling sad, got sunshine.
I can't remember. I remember it came out and it was like a thing of, they're anonymous. But looking back, didn't anyone think, everyone knew it was Damon Albarn, surely.
Damon Albarn always tells a story about being in a London taxi and the cab driver's like, what have you been up to recently? And like, Gorillaz is on the radio. He's like, that's me. And they're like, that's a blooming monkey. That's monkey music, mate.
He's bloody monkey, mate. Cartoon monkey music, you mug. Oh, you're not a fucking little monkey, are you?
I certainly am. I think Gorillaz was
anonymous?
No, people knew.
Everyone knew, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
I think maybe that was just something that dumb kids thought, of which I was one, and sometimes still am.
Easily filled by cartoon monkey music, this guy over here. It's really interesting you say that.
Don't worry, I know about the Powerpuff Girls connection.
Okay.
We'll get into that.
We'll get into that. Another thing is that you were doing that. Did you see that video?
Yes.
Zane Lowe on Apple Music.
I'm sitting here with Damon Albarn and the Monkey Music guys.
I'm sitting here with the Monkey Music men.
I remember the first time I heard the Monkey Music. I was so good. I played it twice.
I watched it twice on my portable TV.
I went swinging around with the monkeys and I did it. I swang from tree to tree around the... Twice. Two times around the monkey forest.
Basically, Damon Albarn's showing him that mad... what's that? The Omnicord, it's called. It's like a drum machine from the 80s. And he presses the button on it and it goes... And he's like... It's rock preset. You know, that's rock preset one. And he's got... Damon Albarn's just like... And Zane Lowe's just like... Blummin' hell, you know? Like,
blummin'... Did you say blummin' hell?
No, I don't think so.
Blimey hell.
Jesus Christ.
Go, you know, blimey.
That's just genius. You know, that's just the song.
Yeah.
You just press the button and the song's
right. So they sort of ripped off the tune, admittedly, you know, from a keyboard preset.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, it's not the only preset that's ever been used. Rihanna, Umbrella by Rihanna. Mm-hmm. That's a garage band preset, funk track.
Yep.
And... You can't say that's a bad song.
I've no problem with it. I mean, it's just sampling, isn't it? It's just the same as sampling anything else. And see some of the replies that has rolled. Anyone could do that. Well, yeah, but you didn't.
You didn't.
They did.
They did.
They turned it into something beautiful art. So good for them.
Another great part of that video is there's a bit where, you know, Zane Lowe. He loves everybody. He loves everything.
He's got so much love in his heart.
There's a bit where they're digging through all the musical instruments. And Damon Albarn's kind of archives of musical instruments, and he gets this big. He goes, "Yeah, I got this horn. I was doing a Parisian opera last year, and lots of different Malian instruments, and I got this." And he gets this big daft round horn, big African musical instrument. And he goes, "Yeah, I mean, I haven't played it in a while, but let me give it a go." And he just goes. And as Zane Lowe goes, that's fucking genius,
that's
bro.
That's so good, bro. I've only heard it once, though.
Oh, can you play it again?
I need to hear it twice.
It's really good. I love it, bro.
So what
and it's a win-win. It's a woodwind instrument, isn't it?
A win-win instrument.
It's a win-win instrument because either way you play it, I'm going to like it. But it's a woodwind instrument, so you know it's all in your cheeks.
You're struggling to say the word wood in a Kiwi accent.
No, I'm not struggling at all.
You keep saying wood.
I'm doing easily.
Wood.
It's a woodwind instrument.
Woodwind.
It's a win-win situation. Oh, it's Koch 22.
Shit, Tim, I dented the rim in the mid-biscuit tin.
Hey.
Cool thing to say.
Culturally offensive.
Very culturally cool thing to say. So do you remember when you first heard Gorillaz with a Z?
I remember. It must have been on TV. I remember the video for 19-2000 came out and they had an online game you could play on the internet.
Well, you love playing online games on the internet.
Online games on the internet.
Newgrounds.com?
It was it was a Flash game.
Yep. Fuck you, Steve Jobs.
Fuck you, King of Flash. And
he killed Flash.
Yeah, I'm talking about Lemmy.
Okay.
Lemmy. There was a bit in the game where in the video where he's riding a Jeep and you could ride the Jeep in the game.
Right.
It was
the Gorilla's Jeep.
Yeah. And okay. I remember being in Brayhead Shopping Centre with my mum.
Okay.
And I'd never been in Brayhead before, so I was taking a lot in.
Making notes.
And I just got a wee bit overstimulated and I had to sit down in a cafe and they had Clint Eastwood on the TV, the video for Clint Eastwood where it's all the zombie monsters.
So it was just too much beauty and Brayhead and you need to sit down and take a moment?
Anytime I'm in a new shopping centre, I get a wee bit it's too much.
Right.
And I have to sit down and
aggressive
watch
lighting.
Aggressive lighting.
Guys selling phone covers.
This was pre-phones. No, they hadn't invented phones yet.
But Alexander Graham Bell making notes in the corner.
Yeah. That is one sick motherfucker, man. I like that guy. Shout out.
Shout out to AGB.
AGB, always getting bitches. Yeah, I just remember seeing the video for that and just being like, finally, someone let me out of my cage.
Mm.
And I was just like, this is class. Because I really loved hip-hop when I was a 12-year-old. I wish I'd went in that direction musically. I wish instead of getting into heavy metal and Kaiser Chiefs and, you know, prog and stuff, I wish I'd got right into DMX.
Really?
And became a DJ.
Do you think... No, you'd be a miserable DJ.
You think so?
You hate people.
What?
I hate people.
But in my job now is talking to people all the time. I hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? It's like, I wish I could just go...
Imagine you're halfway through your job every night, is people coming up and asking you to play fucking Run Rig.
I'd go like that to the bouncer.
Get them fucking out of here. Bouncer's like, it's not a kind of place.
The bouncer's like...
They're allowed to ask people to play music.
You're a DJ in a street food market, mate. You cannot... You can't actually get people kicked out.
Get him out of here. They're just asking where the bathroom is. Can you just direct them where the toilet is, please?
Get the fuck out of here, man. Get out and I'm done.
Now, we have previously...
There's a child magician coming on after me, and I'm going to fucking overrun if you don't tell this guy shut the fuck up.
We've covered Damon Albarn in our very popular episode on Blur.
Long time album enjoyers and ultras can go back and listen to the Damon Albarn Blood episode if you want to have a secret partial of him. So we're
from what I remember, not as posh as we assumed he was going to be.
No, he was from Colchester or something, wasn't
he? Yeah, good Essex lad.
Good Essex lad, nothing wrong with that.
He has gone in this direction that it seems like white, older British male musicians go into, the sort of Sting route of... I've done pop music, now I'm going to get really into world music and meditation and, you know.
I think you just kind of have to.
It's just that it's just a few different types of guys that inevitably we all become, and that's
you think you'll become an African guy? You're already teetotal.
What does that mean?
Well, that's what they've all done, is they've had the party days like yourself,
Then
they went, well, how do I replace the gaping chasm that alcohol once failed to fill?
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of African masks on my living room wall like Frasier.
Yeah, I would love that.
You will be that.
I've been to Africa as well.
I know, you keep talking about it, even though you only went once.
I've been twice, actually.
Alright, okay.
Embarrassing for you.
Is it?
I should say so.
The unbeatable beat of Soweto, man.
Yeah.
I thought it was called?
Something like that. Indescribable.
Indescribable beat of Soweto.
Something beat of Soweto.
It wasn't the unbeatable beat of Soweto.
I think the unbeatable beat of the Beatles. I don't think I'll become an Africa guy. I think I'm more likely to become like a Japan guy or
something. You're already a weeb as well, aren't you?
I'm not as big a weeb as you. You're the biggest weeb going.
I don't have Okay, yeah, I do actually. Okay, never mind.
You have a packet of unopened Pokemon noodles in your house.
That might have been them, mate.
Really?
You bought me them.
As a gift from Japan. You a gift from Japan. Bin.
Well, I've got a lot of old stuff that's out of date and I need to get rid of it. Can't eat those noodles anymore.
No, but it was presentation noodles.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what I do? I keep money in there.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. I use it as like a money because nobody would check because it's so worthless that I put all my money, put all my money in there. Wow. Nobody robbed me.
Traveled the seven seas and brought you back Pokemon noodles.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot. That was really cool. That was a good gift, unlike that book you bought me, which I haven't read yet.
So that's actually a really thoughtful gift. A book that someone given someone the gift of beauty and joy and memories.
700 words of depression. 700 pages of depression. You would 700 words would be great.
You love reading depressing things.
You don't know me.
This is gonna be one of those episodes, isn't it?
No. Right, anyway, we've already done the secret posture on Damon Albarn, who has become an Africa gay.
Yep.
But instead, you know, the Gorillaz is a multimedia project, you know? So it's not just Damon Albarn. It's
Damon
also
Albarn and Jamie Hewlett.
Secret partial, secret partial. You do a fest and it feels like a Nash. You got no money. You got Dash Bro secret partial.
Jamie Hewlett is from Horsham, which is outside Brighton. It's near where my folks live now, near Shoreham by Sea. Not to dox my parents.
Hello, Irish man has been doxxed.
Yeah, but that's where they live. He went.
All these people are showing up at my door. All these album enjoyers, Liam, they're saying. There's over 10 of them. They're saying peace and love in the new millennium. But that was 20 years ago. What? It doesn't make any sense.
He went to a Tainbridge House school, which is a normal school. So this Jamie Hewlett guy, pretty normal guy. He spent a lot of time in Worthing, which is next to Shoreham by Sea, which is where my nan was living growing up. So I've been there a few times. You can't accuse Worthing of being a posh place. It is one of the, it's sort of a run-down seaside town.
Yeah, I never really got the sense that Jamie Hewlett would be a secret posh show because he's like a punk comic artist, you know. Like, have you ever read Tank Girl or anything like that?
Well, we're gonna go into that in a sec. The one thing I want to say about Worthing is the other person that I know lives there is Get Your Own Back's Dave Benson Phillips.
Oh yeah, your big friend.
My big friends with Dave Benson Phillips. We've met once. He poured gunge on me, live on stage.
You quickly realized a lot of the audience was there for sexual purposes.
Nope, that's a different story. I don't know what you're thinking of there. It was a set list night. Yeah.
His audience was not a set list, just anybody goes, but a lot of these gunge people, I've said this before on the podcast, a lot of these people who go to gunge events now.
It wasn't a gunge event, though.
Get Your Own Back as a gunge event.
Yeah, but I...
His solo show.
Which I wasn't there for.
No, I'm talking about his solo show.
Right, okay.
Yeah, a lot of people from the Splosh community.
Splosh?
Yeah. You ever seen that?
No.
Check it out.
No.
Don't. We'll get taken down.
Yeah, don't check out Splosh. God almighty, if someone's coming here hoping to learn about the Gorillaz, well, they're about to. Disappointed
about
to learn
a lot about
so,
food colouring and slime.
Jamie Hewlett created Tank Girl, which you might remember we discussed in the Spice Girls episode.
Oh.
Because the three members of the Spice Girls had met in an audition for the film adaptation of punk comic Tank Girl. The film ended up being an absolute flop.
Yeah.
Ended up being a real splosh at the box office, at the splosh office. But I think it's interesting, right? Because obviously the idea of Gorillaz is this sort of satire on manufactured pop bands. And Jamie Hewlett was indirectly involved in the manufacture of the most manufactured pop band ever, the Spice Girls.
It's a scary thing about making anything, isn't it? You're going to invariably either be the fake version of something or make something that then someone else will become the fake manufactured version of.
Well, it's that idea. I mean, and this is one of my, I guess, things that I never found fully convincing about the Gorillaz was that idea that, oh, it's a parody of manufactured pop bands, but then just making like...
I've never seen it as that. I always thought it was just a fun multimedia project.
I think that, well, no, it was genuinely. So Jamie Hewlett and Damon Albarn met when Graham Coxon, you've been Coxon pilled.
I've since been on Coxon pilled.
Okay, why?
Do I get it?
I think you should. If you say something like that on a podcast, I think you should say why.
Can't.
Okay. Anyway,
now I'm Alburn pilled.
Right, okay.
Yeah, Damon pilled.
Coxon was a fan of Deadline magazine that printed Tank Girl and other Jamie Hewlett comics. So Coxon asked Hewlett to interview Blur for Deadline magazine. So that was when Jamie and Damon both first met. Jamie at first thought Damon was a super asshole. Did not like him at all. Thought he was pretentious, arrogant, cocky, loud. Did not like him. And you remember that when we watched the when we did the Blur episode, Blur sort of did that interview with Nardwuar. Yeah. And they were being dicks. And you can see at that time, I think they were real dicks.
I think anybody who is a young man and full of cum and cocaine, mm-hmm. you're going to be an asshole.
Yeah. But then Damon broke up with his partner at the time, who was Justine from Elastica, at the same time that Jamie broke up with his partner and ended up living together. And it was when they were hanging out watching MTV, they came up with the idea of making the ultimate manufactured band. Mm-hmm. So that was the genesis of it. That was the idea, that it was a sort of satire on pop music. I guess what I never found convincing about that was that then you just make a bunch of like quite good electronic pop songs. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like there's no satire there apart from there's like... cartoon apes.
Cool cartoon monkey music.
It's cool cartoon monkey music. And that's cool. That's fine. But, you know, I don't know how as successful it is as a satirical piece rather than just cool music.
I messaged you this week and said, what do you think about this record? We don't not speak to each other the rest of the week. And you said, do you want to tell me what you said?
On the first listen, though, I felt like it was really overproduced.
And he doesn't even... You don't do any research before you listen? You just go in dry?
I go straight in, no kissing. Uh-huh. Okay? I put my headphones on.
It hurts.
And it's painful for everybody. And I just listen, and that's... I give my first impressions are important. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And because obviously your relationship with the record evolves over time, and the more you listen, the more you hear different elements of it. But first time, I thought... It sounds really overproduced.
Mm-hmm. And then that is not the story of the record, but the thing about this record is that it's the first time that Damon Albarn has worked with this guy called Greg Kurstin, who produces this record. And he is one of the biggest music producers in the world. He produces all of Adele's stuff. Mm-hmm. He produced Lily Allen's records.
Yep.
He produced... it tends to be a band will have a big hit as an indie group, like an independent thing, and then the next one they'll go, oh, let's go with Greg Kurstin. Like, Foster the People.
Yep.
You know, they had...
He's done the Shins.
All the other kids with the pumped up kicks. And then they go, how are we going to make some more hits? With Greg Kurstin, and then it doesn't really work, probably.
Yep. Sia, he's done a load of their albums as well.
Sia.
Paul McCartney, Ellie Goulding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I consider them two in the same breath.
A lot of...
Paul McCartney, Ellie Goulding, Churches, Paul McCartney.
Well, I mean, we're listening to people that they've produced.
Yeah. They're just too close to each other for my liking.
Okay, so Paul McCartney and other people like Ellie Goulding. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. So, did you know much about Greg Kurstin?
Nah, man, not at all.
Yeah, he's won Producer of the Year for his work on Adele's 25. So, like, he's a pretty big deal. He's like a total... I think he's just a total LA music guy.
He's just one of these guys with 1,000 vintage synths sitting in his sitting room.
Yep.
And he's just going, meep, 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 meep.
Yep.
You know?
Yep, yep,
yep. We're doing a secret push on him?
Sure.
You want me to do the theme tune again?
Oh, yeah, go on then.
Secret Pasha, secret Pasha. You do it faster, cool. I feel like I so got no money. You got those bro. Secret Pasha.
Got the Dark Souls version of Secret Pasha. Secret Pasha.
Secret Pasha. Your affluence has been hitting, my friend.
There wasn't much info about him. All I can tell you is that the sort of wide publicized fact about him is that he wrote his first song age 12. It was a B-side for Frank Zappa's son, who he was in school with. So
what's
I think
his name?
I can find out for you.
That's okay. Papa Zappa? Papa Zappa would be Frank Zappa.
Papa Zappa would be Sonny Zappa. I think if you're in school with Frank Zappa's son, then it's probably in LA.
Yeah, you're probably in a cult.
Yeah.
You're probably doing Scientology.
Greg Kurstin, he started a band called Greggy Tar. Who I listen to.
I don't listen to any of the Kirsten, the expanded sucks, Kirsten verse.
Yeah, the Greg guitar, it really sucked. It was bad. But he was, their band at the time did well, and they were signed by David Byrne's record label. Mm. David Byrne, Dumbartonshire's finest.
Up there.
So yeah, I would say that he's a probably secret posho as well. So the idea, I understand that Auburn was a little bit cagey about working with Greg Kirsten because he has such a long pop history, and that would maybe take away some of the sort of more indie credentials from the Gorillaz.
But he wanted to make a pop record with this one. Mm-hmm. Once he met him, he was like, "Oh, you like the same 80s pop music I like? Let's do it."
Yep.
And then they did it. And do you still think it's overproduced, or was that just a first?
Probably there's some sort. I mean, I warmed to it as I listened to it more. There are. I think the Gorillaz have like. I mean, it's their eighth album, right? So I mean, what are you doing on your eighth album? Are you either making more of the same stuff that made you big, or that you've had huge success with, or you're trying to fucking completely go out there and do something crazy? And this is the former. They're going, all right, let's go back to sort of our early days of stuff, with some dub and some more poppy sounding hooks, and you know, if you like that, then this is what that is. And the producer is fucking.
What's your favorite Gorillaz mode?
I know I've got a good answer to this.
Oh yeah,
my favorite Gorillaz mode is they did a soundtrack for a Chinese opera called Journey to the West.
Did it have a big horn in it, big African horn.
Was it Chinese?
You listened. Your favorite Gorillaz mode is a Chinese opera?
No. Okay. So they did three or four albums in, they went and did a project, and for legal reasons, it couldn't be called a Gorillaz project, right? So it's just called, it's an album on Spotify. It's just called Monkey, right? Is the band.
Cartoon Monkey music.
It is Cartoon Monkey music, right? And so Journey to the West is like an ancient Chinese, like, folk tale.
perhaps
our fans are not.
It's the Chinese warrior god. Can't remember what his name is, but he's a legend.
A Buddhist monk traveling to get sacred texts is the journey, right? And so they made this soundtrack that was a big success at the Manchester International Festival, and huge, like 100 dancers on stage and stuff, and sort of Cirque du Soleil almost vibes. I hadn't heard that, right? I'm not gonna tell you that I'd heard that. I'm not gonna lie to you about.
I just asked you what your favorite Gorillaz mode is. You're bringing up an opera you haven't seen.
Let me finish.
Right, okay.
Okay. Right. Around that time was the 2008 Chinese Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember a BBC ident for that Olympic Games, for the song that they had produced, that absolutely fucking slapped. Mm-hmm. I loved it so much. Mm-hmm. I would listen to it on YouTube at the time. I'd put it on every now and then. Just like a two minute, like it was, they would play it before the coverage of the Chinese Olympics. Mm-hmm. And it is only through finding out the research from this episode.
You've rediscovered the song you loved?
I already knew I loved the song. Well, I have discovered that song was from this soundtrack that they did.
Journey to the West.
And that the animation was Jamie Hewlett.
Oh.
So it was already, without me knowing, my favourite Gorillaz moment.
Wow.
Absolutely fucking rocks.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think my favourite one is, one of the first albums I ever bought was Demon Days.
Mm.
You know, I think I had, yeah, I think I bought like, I Bet That You Look Good in the Dance Floor as a single. And then 2005, I was 13, went into the HMV, the Glasgow Fort, slapped the money down. I didn't get it at the time. I liked the singles, but I couldn't get into the kind of more theatrical, conceptual pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is fucking weird. Just Feel Good Incorporated, please.
I feel like Gorillaz, every album have one or two sort of greatest hits, bangers.
Honestly, that's all I'm asking for.
Yeah.
From an album.
You're on Melancholy Hill as well from...
Up on Melancholy Hill, there's a place for me. Do you wanna see? Lou Reed's last thing before he died was Lulu by Metallica. But he also did this.
The Monkey Journey to the West brings me to this week's YouTube comment of the week. This is from Freenin Green.
Okay.
7 years ago.
Mm.
So, the strange keyboard sounds that begin at 0.07 in the video is actually a preset from a really cheap keyboard called Concertmate 470. The preset is called Computer Sound under Funny. I just accidentally discovered it whilst messing around with mine. Haha. So cool. How about that? So
he just always uses presets, this guy?
Yeah. That was 7 years ago. This is like a viral clip at the moment of him admitting that he uses a preset. But Freen and Green had the hot scoop 7 years ago.
Did you say that was unhinged?
No, I didn't say unhinged. I said YouTube comment of the week.
Do you have an unhinged one?
No.
Shit.
You can do an unhinged one if you want.
Excited. Okay, so this is for the video for the first song on his album, Cracker Island. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen a video.
Oh my God. If you're not watching the videos, you're not listening to the cool monkey music. What's it called? Mad monkey music? Cartoon monkey music?
Cool cartoon monkey music.
Okay, so the video is the band in like... So this one is the first single, and then Silent Running featuring Adele Omotayo. That is, and very good at pronouncing that, aren't I? That's the second video that came out, but they are in reverse order. So the second one is them at like a cult ritual where the lead singer is getting sacrificed to this giant troll who lives under the ground by these LA cultists. And then the first one is set in a hospital, and it's them kind of like recovering from, you know, what happens in the first video, the second video. But there's a guy called W.L. Elefante on YouTube 1 month ago. And he says, the way that 2D moves at the start, man, it hits so close to home. One time, I actually died of overdose from narcotics and got resuscitated in the hospital. I can't really remember much because of the state of my mind in that moment, but I can clearly remember the after effects, and it's just exactly like that. Your body responds to your movement commands, but there's a small delay, and sometimes it doesn't stop the movement, and you just wobble all over the place. That's unhinged.
I don't know if that's unhinged.
They died in it. They just said they died.
Yeah.
They didn't.
Well, you can die, be brought back to life.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe you had the cheek to have a go at my YouTube comment.
No, it was a good comment. It was an interesting comment. It should have been interesting YouTube.
Well, I just said YouTube. It was my favorite YouTube comment this week. So
that's cool. That's cool. It's not a segment.
Have you heard any of the other stuff that Damon Albarn has produced? He produced Bobby Womack's album, Bravest Man in the Universe. Absolutely fantastic.
Is it good?
Yes.
Should we do that?
Maybe.
Should we do a Bobby Womack?
I probably wouldn't do that Bobby Womack.
Oh.
Because it's
who
like...
Who is Bobby Womack? I don't even know him.
Across 110th Street.
Did we not do that?
We've never done Bobby Womack.
No, we haven't.
I agree.
I don't know anything about him. In this video, he's like playing his wee piano in his studio with Zane Lowe going, that fucking piano, bro. It's one of the best pianos I've ever seen in my life. It's got a lot of melancholy on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. And Bobby Womack was here.
Yeah.
That's sick. And I'm just like, oh yeah, I don't know who he is.
Well, there was some friction between Jamie Hewlett and Damon Albarn sort of midway through the Gorillaz life cycle. They broke up temporarily. Also, they weren't going to work with each other as much anymore because Jamie Hewlett said he was looking on stage and he was seeing, you know, Bobby Womack and all these other people, these big artists he's collaborating with. And he was like in the screen with the Gorillaz on them, was just getting smaller and smaller. And he was asking the guys on tour, he's like, is the screen smaller than yesterday? And they're like, no, it's the same size. And so it just felt like it was getting less and less important.
What a fucking loser.
Animated side.
Shut up. Bobby Womack's here. He's going to die soon.
Yeah.
Your cartoon will still be alive.
Yeah, yeah,
prick.
Yeah.
Anyway, good artist, I like him.
Let's talk about some of the cartoon members of the band. You've got Murdoch Nichols.
Love him, the bass player. Green face. Briefly replaced by the villain from Powerpuff Girls.
Temporarily, yeah. Phil Cornwell does the voice of him. Do you know who Phil Cornwell is? AKA, he's in Alan Partridge as like the other radio host who Alan has a rivalry with. Dave Clifton.
Tim Key?
No. Dave, look, from... please, not from fucking Mid-Morning Matters. From...
You don't like Mid-Morning Matters?
I know I do. It's fine. But, you know, I'm talking about classic Partridge, okay? I'm Alan Partridge. Dave Clifton.
I think the new Partridge stuff's as good as it's ever been.
Sure. I mean, no, nothing comes close to It's Alan Partridge. That's actually a mad thing to say.
I don't like And It's Alan Partridge. I don't know what we're not doing enjoying Alan Partridge, but...
Enjoy an Alan.
It's not going to be all Alan. It's just some Alan. And I just love, I just hate in the first series where there's, I'm sure I've talked about this on the podcast before because I've said that many times to many people, but I don't like the cool young people.
Oh, in the hotel?
Yeah. Do you know the wee guy who is then the football journalist in Ted Lasso?
Right, yeah. You don't like him?
He's like, he's supposed to be like you. He's supposed to be you observing this crazy guy. Yeah. I'm not a cool young person.
Right.
I'm a fucking loser like Alan Partridge is.
But I think, I don't know.
The straight man.
I think you are supposed to be siding with Alan against them a bit. Because they are dicks to him. I think that's the idea.
No, but they're like laughing at funny stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You've been bullied?
Shit.
I identify with Alan.
I tell you what, they don't put that in the later series.
Yeah. Anyway.
No offence to Teddy Trim or whatever the guy's name is. What's his name in Ted Lasso? You seen it?
I saw the first series. I don't remember. I checked out.
The wee football guy, wee football journalist. He goes, Terrence Trim Independent. And then he leaves.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
This episode is all over the place.
I don't think so. I think it's good. So who else is in the band?
Noodle?
So, who voices him? Do an impression of the voice.
Of what voice?
The DJ co-host.
So the guy in Alan Partridge, I'm Alan Partridge, right? Who at the end of his radio show, his show goes over to Alan. So Alan always says, "Oh, thank you very much to Dave Clifton, who's probably off now to have a big pint of lager," right? Because he's like a recovering alcoholic, and Alan always makes jokes about him.
That's very funny.
Yeah. So that guy. So that is Murdoch Nichols.
Wow.
He does the voice. He's a big voiceover artist, but that's where most people know him from.
He doesn't really talk that much. He just kind of goes.
Well, someone's got to make that noise.
Yeah, no, they do.
There's Noodle, who is a Japanese child.
Japanese ghetto.
Yes.
She seems older now. I know you haven't seen the new videos, but she seems like she's aged up with the band a wee bit. It's cool.
Yeah, well, that would make sense that they've aged her a bit. There's 2D.
Bart Simpson's the same age he was when the day he was born.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy though, isn't it?
Mm.
And 2D and that my notes haven't updated, so I don't know who is that.
2D's the main character.
Yeah.
It's Damon
Albarn. It's just deleted. I've written all this stuff.
Would you mean it deleted? It went back?
Yeah. The version of the document that I have.
You need to get rid of this tablet, man. Your tablet built. It's fucking hates you. It's deleting itself.
Yeah, I know. It's fucked up. What are you looking at now?
See what you're talking about.
It's very rude to read someone's notes.
What songs do you like on this record, man?
The best song by far is Skinny Ape, Skinny Ape, Skinny Ape, Skinny Ape. Da, 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 da.
Skinny one. Little, skinny little, skinny little, skinny little ape, babe, 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 babe. I'm a cartoon G ape. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the banger. I like On Cracker Island, I'm up.
Thundercat on the bass, man. He's such a great bass player. He's like...
They've turned the bass down.
Yeah, I mean, I've got bass boosted. I listen to my...
Why are you getting Thundercat on the album and then not fucking turning the bass up to 12? Yeah. It's an insane decision.
His vocals are sick as well, but they gave him a bit more room to breathe.
Yeah.
Greg Kirsten, you loser. But what a fucking song anyway. You can still hear the bass. There's a big bass solo at the end. That's my favourite bass technique, the octave leap for a disco song.
Right, okay.
Because you kind of just like, you know, when you do like a power chord and you do like this, the note, and then you do the octave up from it down here, and then you put the one in the middle. In disco, you take away the one in the middle and you just go, you play the same note, but it's an octave different on two different things. I used to do that technique in my... power violence band, and the other members said, "Stop doing that.
This is stop playing disco bass during a Power Slave record, please."
Okay, nobody can stop me.
We've actually covered quite a few people on this album. So guests are Bad Bunny, who we've done an episode on, Beck, who we've done
Bad
an episode
Bunny.
On, Stevie Nicks, who we've done a Fleetwood Mac, obviously.
Yeah. Booty Brown from the Far Side.
Booty Brown from the Far Side as well. The only people we haven't covered on this album are Tame Impala and Thundercat. But we have spoken about Thundercat before.
Did you say we've done Beck?
Yeah, we did Beck.
We did Beck, yeah.
Yeah. That was a great episode, I think, the Beck episode. Adeleo Omotayo is the drummer from Gorillaz, isn't he? Then? So that's...
No, Remy Kabaka Jr. is the drummer. Adeleo Omotayo is from The Humans.
Right.
Which was a kind of non-Gorillaz project where they got an African choir in.
I beg your pardon. Okay,
listen. You're not Omotayo Pilled.
Obviously. What did you think of the Bad Bunny collab?
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I will say this, it is, I guess it's the most ambitious song on the album. At least I feel like it's trying to do something new, which I guess is what one of the things that I always thought was the point of what Gorillaz were doing, was bringing in all this different world music and trying to do something different. Obviously, like then Blur, right? This is all the stuff that, oh, I couldn't do this in Blur because it was like a Britpop band. Going to bring in all these other influences, all this different like Cuban music I listen to, all this dub, all this hip hop. So bringing in Bad Bunny seems like the most like on track for Gorillaz decision, but it's not a great song.
No.
Yeah.
That's the one song. It's interesting because you don't like the production, but that's the one song Greg Kirsten didn't touch.
Well, I mean, fine. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't, I don't like it. Do you
it's
know what
bad.
I mean? Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and it just feels like a Bad Bunny song. It doesn't feel like a Gorillaz song.
Yeah.
One song I liked a lot was, I just love the fucking theme of it. Because every album has like a theme with them. So, like, Plastic Demon Days was like the end of the world. And then Plastic Beach was like an environmentalist album.
Do you not think that was slightly like, they're this. They're such fucking, them and Alban, such a fucking lib, right? And I just, you know, it's like a vacuous, we're doing an album about the environment, right? Because I read The Guardian and the environment's very important to me. And then you're going to release fucking Gorillaz NFTs? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You fucking
I think a
donut.
Lot of celebrity people didn't have the environmental impact of NFTs explained to them before they did it. So somebody would just go to them and want, do you want a briefcase with real money in it to promote this fake money? And they went, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they announced it and then everybody went, oh, by the way, this is evil. And they went, shit, nobody told us that. Sorry.
Yeah, I would say if you're going to receive a briefcase of cash from a fucking fake money laundering scheme, then just do a little bit of research first.
If we got offered Enjoy an Album NFTs.
100%.
Yeah.
In straight away. I was not in the band Blur, okay?
I would convert my head into an NFT.
I'd be a walking Cool Monkey Music Man.
Yeah, I would be a cool podcast.
Because that was the thing with NFTs. They were kind of Gorillaz-esque anyway, weren't they?
Yeah.
It was heavy.
They were skinny little apes.
Skinny little ape. Yeah, that's the best song on the album. I do like... I like Cracker Island, the opening song.
Cracker Island, they were born. Into this chicken father's home. It's like very evil sounding.
It's funny that Tame Impala's on it because...
You cannot tell.
Tame Impala, the whole album sounds like a sort of Tame... Like he's been listening to Tame Impala. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of that... like Tame Impala's influence...
It's huge.
It's massive on that Joseph record as well. That's a Scottish guy. Like, so many albums at the moment coming out that sound like Currents by Tame Impala.
That is what the indie sound became.
Yeah.
I think. Very Urban Outfitters 2015, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I never got into Tame Impala.
I like Kevin Parker. I like Elephant. Is it Elephants? And
the one with the ball and the lanes.
That's Currents.
Yeah.
That's a great album.
Do I do Tame Impala at some point?
Sure, I reckon he's probably a posh kid, but that's fine.
It's the sound of money getting licked. I like New Gold, I like Booty Brown showing up for a wee verse. I forgot how much I loved the Far Side record. I put that on when I seen him, he was on it. I'll put it back on.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
That was one of my favourite episodes, really, got into that. Tired Influencer and like Silent Running does this, because in Cracker Island, it kind of sets up this lore, this mythos of this island where kind of...
Island boy,
go and give me that island toy. Now they set up this mythos of like.
It blows my mind that you guys are aware of the island boys.
I'm aware, and I'm in them.
We're the Scottish answer to the island boys.
Silly cartoon island boys.
Island boy,
go and give me that cracker. Island boy. So Cracker Island is, you know, it's an island of like people who worship AI, they worship falsehood, they worship, and then that's cool. I like the attack on like falseness and this kind of cult, but it, as you go in, you go, oh, the whole album's kind of about social media and how we're always scrolling on our bloody phones. And it's like, I mean, come on. There's more evil things at play in the universe than that, isn't there?
And it's that we've spoken about before, it's sort of like the Banksy-esque, like surface level cultural criticism. And it's the same, that's my problem with the whole of Gorillaz that I said earlier. It's like, it's just really surface level, like, bands are manufactured and Facebook is bad. It's like, come on.
Those are both true.
Sure. But you're like one of the world's biggest artists. You can say something a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is really interesting, the first one, where they're like, they taught themselves to be a cult. They didn't know its many strategies. And in the music video version of this song, every time they say cult, the band members' faces turn into demons, and there's like a weird demon roar.
Mm.
And it's actually one of those things where the music video version of a song is better than the actual album version. The exact opposite of Apartment Story by The National, where in the music version of that, they're like playing a wedding band. So this wedding's background music, people chanting just all over the song. You're like, I want to listen to fucking Apartment Story by The National.
I also hate when like fucking big artists release like YouTube little mini films for their song. And I want to listen to the song, and it's like a 2-minute introduction.
Yeah.
Silence. Of like someone walking into a fucking diner.
People's shoes on a hard floor.
Yeah.
Get like, fucked.
Just fucking get over yourself. See
if I wanted to hear people's shoes on a hard floor, I'd watch very specific fetish pornography.
See if I wanted to listen to people's shoes on a hard floor, I'd sit in my living room because upstairs have to not got carpets down and they make a fucking racket.
Fucking Casey a dugtail. Anyway.
She did live in my building, but she has since sold her second flat.
Doxed. And then I like the way Cracker Island and Possession Island kind of bookend it, and it does feel like a wee. I like the wee albumisms. I like an albumism. Of course, all I'm asking from a legacy artist is one or two big hits to, and then maybe some interesting stuff. I think that's what they do here. And yes, the production is a wee bit overbearing by Greg Kirsten, but overall, I think it's a nice modern pop record with enough interesting stuff going on that it makes me go crazy.
I think that in 10 years' time, so how long since Plastic Beach was released?
10 years.
10 years, okay. Melancholy Hill, still an absolute banger. I don't think there's any songs on here that in 10 years' time will be played like convincingly in a Gorillaz Greatest Hits set.
I think Cracker Island will be there. I feel bad for the fucking touring bass player, though. He'll be playing these Thundercat bass lines. That's tricky.
Yeah,
really,
well, they'll just fucking turn him down anyway.
Speaking of things being tricky, some people find it tricky to be tattooed.
Why would they be? What do you mean?
We're two guys reviewing tattoos. We're gonna Google image search and then we'll choose if it's tattoo woohoo or tattoo boohoo. We're judging the ink, yeah, that's what we'll do. Do do do, full sleeve or face tats, big skull or wing. Bet you picked it inside, is it?
Battle just fine.
Dragon or a
skull.
Pretentious a
dough.
And you cannot hide. And we will decide if it's tattoo woohoo or tattoo boohoo. Yeah. Now, we already done Damon Albarn.
Yes.
So now we're doing Jamie Hewlett.
Okay.
Let me hit me with it. Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Is this what he looks like?
That's what he looks
like. Oh my God, man. He looks like a crackhead.
Yep.
Wow.
Not a secret post show confirmed.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure I've bought coke off this guy in the back of a fucking, in a fire escape in Brighton in 2012.
Pretty sure I've had to fight this guy.
Yeah.
And Dark Souls.
All right, mate. How you doing? Yeah, I'll get you. What you got? I've got coke, I've got crack, I've got fucking weed, I've got speed, I've got MCAT, I've got everything, mate.
I've got the hollowed soul that will bring you back from being undead, mate. You take it to a bonfire and impurities are washed away. So this is Jamie Hewlett. He is an artist. On his arm, he's got... Do you know who this is?
Yes. Who is it?
Felix the Cat.
Yes.
He had a very good Game Boy game. We were Felix the Cat and you could fly an airplane and shoot things out of the sky. Great stuff.
I love that style of animation.
What's it called again? Kind of jelly squick or something.
Racist animation. No. I love racist animation.
No, like Cuphead and stuff.
Yeah, that was told off for being racist, wasn't it?
No, he's not racist. So you're giving it a woohoo because it's racist?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
No, I think I would actually consider getting a tattoo in that style as well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The Cuphead sort of old Disney, not Disney, old.
It's called something.
1930s called. Animation. So I mean, fresh cut for that. So I am going to give that a big woohoo. I think that's cool. He's whistling. He's an artist.
That's one of the hard things about being an artist is, you know, anybody can draw Bart Simpson's face with a little guide.
Mm.
But can you draw him whistling?
Right.
Can you draw him surprised?
Okay.
Can you draw him short? You know, good cartoonist-ism is all about expression.
What are you talking about?
Good cartoonist-ism is always about expression.
Oh, okay, right. What do you think? Is that a woohoo or a woohoo?
Oh, huge woohoo.
I like it.
For the Game Boy game, Felix the Cat?
Yeah, stunning. Yeah. Was it on the Game and Watch?
No, it was in the Game Boy.
Right, okay.
Nintendo Game Boy. On lower here, you got the Ace of Spades for the benefit of the listener. Big Ace of Spades on the bicep.
He has a massive Ace of Spades.
Yeah. Woohoo. Love Ace of Spades.
No, boohoo. That's so basic and so big. Why such a big Ace of Spades?
It's the only way to gamble, man.
Makes
no difference what you say, the Ace of Spades.
I actually think the juxtaposition of the two of them only highlights how cool Felix the Cat is compared to this. Like, the thing is, right? So, right, for the benefit of the listener, I am currently shielding Felix the Cat. And all you can see now is the Ace of Spades and Jamie Hewlett.
Looks like you're doing a Nazi salute. Smoking, you're like a racist,
smoking a tab, all right? This looks like he is fucking, he's just woken up or not gone to bed at a full moon party in Thailand, okay? And he's been up all night taking fucking mushroom tea and trying to fucking chat up 17-year-old girls in their gap year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You take that down, suddenly looks like a cool guy.
Mm-hmm. That's a cartoon.
Yeah, okay. So I'm saying that is, the spade is a boohoo.
Yeah, I mean, gambling's for fools, but that's the way I like it. Maybe I do it live forever. I think it's cool. I'm going to give it a woohoo.
Okay, that's fine.
I love the Ace of Spades. Yeah. And next, before we get onto it, Jamie Hewlett is a tattoo artist also.
Oh, really?
And he had a tattoo on his arm, which has since been covered up, but we have found the original. If you just go to the left, Cobsey. This is it. Jamie Hewlett, original artwork tattoo design, circa 1990 Tank Girl era. You can buy this original artwork for £600. Not as an NFT, as a piece of something.
As an NFT, nice and, fucking titties.
Well, that's what you might think. And it's a tattoo from Brighton's. What do you think of this?
Wait. So let me understand this. So is this...
For the benefit of the list, I'll describe this.
Okay, so this is a sort of, I would say, a Gorillaz-esque style drawing of a young girl with green hair,
mm-hmm.
Right?
What else is going on?
You can see her nips. She's wearing a little yellow skirt.
Yep.
And so let me just understand this. So he used to have this as a tattoo, and it's been covered up. So what is this? This isn't his skin.
This will be... So a lot of times where a tattoo... I don't know if you have tattoos or if you've seen them or done them. A tattoo artist will draw a design.
So this is the original drawing. So this is that drawing.
This isn't a tattoo. This is a drawing of a tattoo.
I wonder how much is it to get a tattoo by Jamie Hewlett? I would 100% get a Jamie Hewlett tattoo. I'm going to start a crowdfunder.
I think he done it once as like a laugh, but he's not a tattooist.
Oh.
Yeah, he's an artist.
Right,
okay. But I've seen him do it on his Instagram. Tumblr, actually. I was on Tumblr.
You're on Tumblr, bro?
No, I'm not on Tumblr.
You're on Tumblr hanging out with all the fucking Tumblr teens?
No, but they're all in their 20s now, so it's not weird. I'm not on Tumblr. So this is like... What would you give that? Would you give that a woohoo or a boohoo?
I mean, it's hard to say because this is tattoo woohoo or tattoo boohoo, and we're looking at a drawing of a tattoo rather than a tattoo. Like, you know, normally we take into consideration body placement, size, and we can't do that with this. So I'm just imagining this tattoo on, for example, your left ass cheek, okay? And right there, it's a woohoo, okay? Uh-huh. On your neck, a boohoo.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to give it a boohoo. I don't like it. I don't think it's the best thing he's ever done. And I don't think it's worth £600.
I think that the sort of colours, it's got this like really bright sort of, it's supposed to be like a childlike drawing, right?
Of a girl's breast.
And I think that sometimes, it's the same problem I have with gorillas. The satire does not have a clarity of purpose, I'm afraid. So it just looks like a child's drawing.
You're a child if you only want satire that has clarity of purpose. Sometimes you just want to be shocked. Sometimes you just want to get freaked out.
Are you shocked by that?
A wee bit, yeah. That's what I put it in. It's going to be shocking. Can't wait to get Liam's live reaction to this little girl's breasts. Turns out you love them.
No, I'll give it a boohoo.
Oh, okay, me too.
Boohoo, little girl's breasts.
I actually have something. I was taking a look at the first photo earlier.
Cobin has some little girl's breasts.
Oh, no. No, thank you. Sounds disgusting. I was taking a look here. there was a little bit of black on his hand here, on his right hand, and it looks like sort of a fucked up vein.
Computer enhanced?
Well, here's the thing. I did a little bit of research, and what we came across is he actually has a couple more tattoos, and one of them is particularly shit, in my opinion.
Okay. Kobe's bringing in. That looks quite good.
This is a good tattoo.
So, he has... Let's start with this one. It is on his right hand. Uh-huh. It appears to be just one line, and it is a semicircle.
Woohoo for me.
You like a semicircle thing?
The glasses half circle.
No, I think it's pointless. I'm like, what are you doing here? What are we? Yeah, no, it's a boohoo.
It doesn't have the clarity of purpose.
That's what I think.
Yeah, but I just wanted to confirm that he didn't have just a black vein. But then also, he has another tattoo here, which I can't actually make out. But it appears to be just a, like, I couldn't figure out what it was. I looked at a whole ton of photos. It just seems to be a very faded black image, probably one of his doodles from forever ago. Yeah.
Personally, I love faded black images. I'm going to get my woohoo.
You know what? I'm not completely against hand tattoos in general. I think it's... but I wish... we can't really see enough of it in order to make... a valued, you know what I mean? Yeah. No. So
not clean enough. Thank you, Corbin.
I tried. I will not do that again.
No, Alex.
See that you don't.
I love what. Hey, listen.
We take the art and we look at the art and we decide if it's good or fuck. It's Dream Sleeves, baby. No, we've done it enough. So let's talk about this week's album cover, Gorillaz on Cracker Island. It is all four members of the Gorillaz. Noodle is sitting on some stairs wearing a shirt that says Helter Skelter on it. So it's Charles Manson reference. So it's this sort of cultish vibe, all sort of purple gowns.
I love it.
And there's some sort
it's
of
very like, midsummer.
Very like yeah, there's a one of them is floating.
Murdoch's
floating, and there's sort of scribblings on the wall. It's supposed to be this sort of Bohemian Grove type place, I think. It's the Gorillaz style. I think the problem is with the Gorillaz now is that I can't disassociate them with NFT art. It all looks like that bad.
There's no monkeys here.
No, but it does. It all looks that same sort of style.
I disagree with that. I know where you're coming from, but let's try and separate the NFTs
I'm telling you that I find that difficult because the NFT artwork is so derivative of the Gorillaz that now they are almost come together in my head, whether rightly or wrongly.
Right.
So I look at this and it reminds me of that, is all.
Oh. I'm sorry for the... So I guess you didn't enjoy it this week?
I was just fine. I probably won't go back to it. The Gorillaz have better albums, better songs. There's one or two songs in here that I like that I think are worth listening to. There's a lot that I just think is like probably not as good as their earlier stuff. And, you know, for me, it's all about that clarity of purpose.
It's clarity of purpose, man.
Yeah, man.
I don't need that. I can live in a haze of confusion and be quite happy.
Do you think so?
Yeah. In fact, I actually like the satire here is a bit too clear. I don't like it when people are like, scrolling on my phone makes me want to die. I'm like, can you get that across more subtly, please?
Yep.
But listen, Cracker Island, love it. Oil featuring Stevie Nicks. Love it. Supposed to have Julian Casablancas on it. Could get him. They got...
He's probably standing in a field looking going, oh my God, looking at that seagull.
Shut the fuck up, man. Go come back. Skinny Ape was class. Possession Island's class. I really dug it. One of the songs, Baby Queen, is about... Remember that time in the Blood episode we were talking about when the Thai princess?
Yes.
I actually have some here. I know you usually do Secret Paw Show. I've done Secret Posho on Princess Sariba Chabaharan of Thailand, right?
Yep.
Nailed
the pronunciation.
It turns out she's the eldest daughter of Chulaborn.
Wait, the king?
King Chulaborn of Thailand. No, oh, Princess Chulaborn of Thailand and very god Tishasaran.
Nepo babies.
Nepo baby, man. Secret Posho.
The Princess of Thailand is a Nepo baby. That's fucked up.
She comes from a... affluent background.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Do you know she's 40 now?
Really?
Yeah.
So he makes things about that in here as well. Like, I hung out with the Thai princess, and so it's a callback.
I think
that's interesting. That's a 20-year difference callback between songs.
And then, yeah, and then Booty Brown's verse in New Gold calls back to Dare with Sean Ryder.
Yep. My great. Friend Sean Ryder.
Yeah, your friend Sean Ryder that you've spoke to. And we're get him on the pod, man.
I think that would be a disaster.
Yes. Yes, it would be. I enjoyed that album. It doesn't sound like you did.
It's fine.
Press the flesh. Decide. Yes or no?
Nah.
Nah, didn't enjoy it.
Not for me. Okay. Sorry.
That's fair enough.
Sorry, The Gorillaz.
Sorry, Damon Albarn. I loved watching Zane Lowe do the interview in his house.
Of course,
he
always.
He start twisting his nips a wee bit towards the end of it. He does start going, bro, how are you saying Coachella? It's not Coachella, it's Coachella. And it's like, you're both saying this wrong.
As if you've got the right to tell anyone how to pronounce anything Zane Lowe, you absolute freak.
Yeah, big love to Zane Lowe, big love to
can't
the
even say the word wood.
Weed. I remember the first time I heard someone say wood.
Every week we add two songs from the album we've just listened to the ever-growing Enjoy an Album playlist, updated, never. And we add two songs that inspired by our conversation, the album. Which song from the album are you going to put on the playlist?
This week I'm going to stick on the first track, Cracker Island.
Cracker Island. You reminded me he's from Essex, and there's just something about hearing like a guy from Essex. You fat, you what?
No, it really stands out in this record as just a big blast of fun, but you know, and like a completely different. There's no.
I can just imagine him with a fucking like straw trilby on and a vest at a festival drinking a fucking pint of Brewdog.
I was thinking that, you know, I'd love to see that song at like a big show or something.
Yeah.
That was class.
You right.
So that's cool. What song are you going to put on inspired by the conversation?
It's going to be the 2008 BBC iDent smash hit.
Cool.
Journey to the West by Monkey. Mm. But shout out to Bobby Womack's Bravest Man in the Universe, which I re-listened to this week, which is fantastic.
We need to do Bobby Womack, I don't know who he is.
Across 110th Street.
110th Street.
You ever seen American Gangster?
No.
Oh, great movie.
Oh, yeah.
They play that song a lot.
People are going to make fun of me for this, but I don't know who that is. I'm going to stick on... I think I wanted to put on the Them Changes by Thundercat, but we've already put that on.
Yes.
So instead I'm going to stick on that Brayhead shopping centre classic. I'm overstimulated by the sights and the sounds of a shopping centre circa 2003. No bother. Sit in a coffee shop and watch. I think we'd call that shopping channel. That channel at the time was playing kind of rock music. It wasn't VH1. It wasn't NME radio. It wasn't NME TV. It was MTV2.
Sure.
MTV2. This song saved my life.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. Loved it.
You're double gorillas.
It's great.
Two different cool cartoon monkey musics on the pod.
I love cartoon monkey musics.
Mm-hmm.
What is the other one? Jesse and the Pussycats. They were a cartoon monkey band. They were a cartoon cat band.
Yeah. Mm. What, was Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Yeah. Oh, actually, I fucking remembered what my choice was going to be. Get that to fuck. My favourite cartoon band is Death Clock from the TV show Murderocalypse. They have a great song called Thunder Horse, which is like, Mosta, crushing, Mosta. No, it's actually Awaken by Death Clock. Thunder Horse is more like, and they're a cartoon band and they kick ass. I'd love to do their album.
I think this episode could be used as evidence that you need to be taking Ritalin. Been all over the place.
I'm not all over the place. You're all on your wee tablet. I've got my book. I'm a real person. You're a robot. This is what Cracker Island's all about. You're addicted to scrolling on your phone. You got two phones on your table. Pathetic. Anyway, on Cracker Island it was born, but on Enjoy an Album Island, it was enjoyed.
Thank you so much for listening and checking us out. Please continue to like and subscribe on the YouTube channel. Very helpful to us as a growing media conglomerate. The Enjoy an Album Studios, live here at Monkey Barrel every week, right direct to your ears.
Yeah,
this is a cool new sign out. Enjoy your week, and we'll catch you next week. Bye bye.
Peace and love in the new millennium.